You're listening to Vectis Radio on FM 104.6, and I'm very pleased to say we've been joined by Dr. Michelle Legg, otherwise known as, well, I don't know whether I can call her Super Doc or Top Doc. I know you've got, like, you know, you're like a very busy doc. So welcome, first of all. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for asking. We're quite busy at the moment out in primary care. Lots of people unwell, and we have obviously got lots of people that during lockdown sort of got on with their symptoms, but now they're sort of bringing them to us. So everybody is super busy out in primary care. But no, I'm presently quite well.
Well, that's good, because obviously the last 6 months have been very tricky. And can I just say that I think the NHS has been absolutely amazing, not just during the last 6 months, but they're amazing anyway, but incredible, just stepped up to the plate. And I would imagine that's, you know, you don't get enough credit. And it's all very well us clapping you on a Thursday night. I know we've stopped it now, but I still think much more deserving of that. So, you know, all credit to you and your team.
Oh, thank you very much for saying that. I mean, that's really it's really nice to hear. Presently, we're just planning how we would support people on the island with a second surge of COVID. Hopefully we don't get a second surge, but how we would again go out and see people with COVID and support them, and how we would look after them. So we will probably have to step up the mark again. And for some of us that are in high risk groups, that's obviously quite a risky thing to do, but that's our jobs and that's what we do.
And of course, it leads us nicely onto what we wanted to talk about, because it is, even though it's not COVID, we want to talk about flu and flu vaccines, which of course, if we don't do the right thing regarding flu, it will put pressure on the other problem, which of course is going to be COVID-19. So,
absolutely.
Flu vaccines are available now. Why should we have it?
Okay. So, firstly, flu itself can cause quite a lot of problems if you've got any long-term conditions. So we obviously always every year try to vaccinate everybody over 65, anybody that's got long-term conditions, things like diabetes or heart disease. We also vaccinate small children with a nasal vaccine. We also try to vaccinate pregnant women, and we also try to vaccinate people with learning disability. So in those high risk groups, flu itself can be quite detrimental and can cause some problems. But this year, we really need to protect the NHS against people getting unwell with flu, just in case we have a second surge of COVID. Well, we're obviously already getting a second surge in the north, and they're already seeing hospital admissions. So if we can reduce people needing hospital admission from flu, that's one thing we can do to support the NHS. The other thing is that there is a lot of evidence out there that if you get flu and COVID together, which is obviously quite unlucky, that is quite serious indeed, and is associated with quite a high mortality rate. So this year, more than ever, it's really important to get your flu vaccine.
So can we just hammer home the point here? Don't, you know, people out there, don't think that because you've got the flu, you won't get the other, or you okay. won't get COVID and so on. You know, you can get both, which is going to be, you know, hell on earth. So, you know, the advice is to go and get it. When can we get it? Is it available? I know, it's a stupid question because I've already had it done.
So we've already got the flu vaccine out. We've already invited people. We've already started our vaccination. This year, obviously, it's been having to be done in a sort of COVID supportive environment. So we've had to make sure that we're injecting people with space, so that my practice in the Northeast joined up with two other practices. And we use Binstead Community Hall, for example, where we could space everybody out in queues, and we could also space out the people actually giving the injections to try and make it obviously COVID friendly. Most people would have been invited by now, just to make the point that every year we get our flu vaccine in stages. So we've had, we get flu vaccine delivered from the manufacturers in September, October and November. So it may be that you may have to wait a while for your flu vaccine, but that's not a problem. We will have enough vaccine to vaccinate everybody. It's just having to wait a little bit whilst the manufacturers get the vaccine out to us.
Okay, where can you get it done? Where should you, is it a doctor's thing? Is it a, popping into a chemist? How?
So you can get it done via your doctor's surgery. By now, most people would have had an invite if they're in a high-risk group or aged over 65, for example. However, you can go also to your pharmacy, and if you're eligible for a free flu vaccine, they will do that for you.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm over 50, and I got mine a couple of weeks ago. I had to pay, by all accounts, but I don't care. I had it because I had the flu a couple of years ago, and I didn't like it. Don't want it ever again. Can we tell people what when you get the injection, what can they expect for the next couple of days?
Sometimes people do report very slight flu-like illness, but it's very mild. Maybe a little bit of arm soreness where you had the injection. Just pointing out where you're saying that you were over 50 and having your flu vaccine, we are going to try and vaccinate in November anybody between 50 and 64, but it will depend on how much vaccine we've got left.
Okay. While I was having it, it was interesting because the lady that was going to do it, she was just about to stick the needle in me, and she said, do you have an egg allergy? And I thought I was going to get an egg sandwich, but obviously I wasn't going to get an egg sandwich. It's because it's got egg in the vaccine. Does that mean that people that have egg allergies can't have the flu vaccine?
No, it doesn't actually. There's different types of flu vaccine for different age groups. So we use a different vaccine for, say, the over 65s, and we use a different vaccine for children, for example. But we also have vaccines which are licensed for people that have egg allergy. So they make the flu vaccine using egg-based technology, and that's why we can't use it if anyone's got egg allergies. But there are vaccines that we can use if you do have egg allergy. So, no, you definitely don't lose out on your flu vaccine.
So do you need to speak up or if you're going along to it, or will you be asked every time?
You should be asked every time whether you're allergic to egg or not. And most people have had their flu vaccine every year, and so they'll be used to being telling somebody that they've got egg allergy. If you're not asked, you should be asked. But if you weren't asked and you know that you're definitely allergic to egg, please tell whoever you're having your injection from.
Okay, that's important. Otherwise, you'll have another problem.
Yes, you will have another problem.
Sadly. So if you've had it like 12 months before, you've still got to have another one the year later.
You do. We every year we have to vaccinate for flu. But for people over 65, they also get a pneumonia vaccination. But we only ever need to vaccinate once for that. But yes, every year you have to have the flu vaccine.
Okay, and it lasts, how long does it last for?
About a year.
So you're covered until basically the next year then?
Yes, we only get flu basically in the winter months. So our flu months are around October, November through to about February. You don't get a lot of flu in the summer. And then by the time the next season comes round, October, October again, you would need to have a new vaccine.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, just bear in mind, I might be pregnant, and I know that might be a miracle, but can I still have a jab?
Yes, absolutely. It's really important that pregnant women have the flu vaccine. Flu can affect pregnant women more strongly or more adversely. And so you can get your flu vaccine from your maternity provider, and that being either your midwife or if you're having requiring some sort of hospital support for your pregnancy, you can get your flu vaccine at the hospital. But yes, definitely very important for pregnant ladies to be vaccinated.
Okay, what if I'm taking antibiotics? Can I still have the vaccine?
It depends what you're taking antibiotics for. We tend not to like to vaccinate people if they've got a bit of a temperature or if they're feeling, unwell. But if you're taking antibiotics, say, for acne or something that you're not unwell with, then yes, that's absolutely fine to have the flu vaccine with antibiotics.
Okay, so how do we check? Because, you know, just say, for instance, we go into the chemist and get it. You know, are they likely to ask you, or is it something you need to know?
No, they will be asking you questions, making sure it's safe for them to give you the flu vaccine.
Okay. There was another question, but I want to move on to if you've got the flu, or you know, because I had it a couple of years ago, and that's why I have the flu jab now. And I'd rather have you know, an achy arm for a couple of days than the flu again, because I was wiped out for 3 weeks. And one of the things that was so frustrating was, you know, every day I thought I was dying. And it wasn't like, you know, man flu or anything like that. It was proper full-on flu. And every time you switch on the telly, all you got was, you know, people telling you that, oh, the NHS is clogged up with people with flu. But they didn't actually tell you what you should be doing. I.e., if I'd have had someone telling me to do the necessary things, I wouldn't have been quite so concerned and low. I mean, I was going to be low anyway because of it just wiped me out. But I just felt like I was being a pain in the backside, and wasn't getting that information. So, you know, so if you've got flu, you know, you can't take anything for it. They can't give you anything for it, can they?
No. So, I mean, there's some really great NHS websites. So you can go on nhs.net or nhs.uk. One of those NHS websites, and they'll give you some information for the flu. Yes, you're right in certain aspects, there's nothing you can take, but proper flu like you're describing, you're absolutely totally wiped out. You can barely have the energy to get out of bed, and you're totally, you know, it's not like a heavy cold. You really know whether you've got the flu or not. And it's really important to drink plenty. It's really important to take some regular paracetamol for the fever and the chills. It's important that you eat a little bit of something to give you a bit of energy to try and fight the fever. So I think there's an old wise tale, isn't there? Feed a cold and starve a fever or something. But actually, it's important that you do actually eat a little bit with the flu. And then if you think that you've got a secondary infection, so the flu itself is obviously a virus, and we don't have any treatment for viruses. But the virus can... If you've got a weakness, say you suffer with your chest or are asthmatic or something like that, you may get a secondary bacterial infection and you may require some antibiotics for that. So it's important to keep an eye and feel that you're getting chesty, or you've got a productive cough, or you're feeling a bit tight-chested, short of breath, something like that, that you contact your GP surgery.
Okay, can we just clarify, drink plenty? That's not alcohol, but what is the best stuff to drink?
Water, maybe some freshly squeezed lemons into water. I think a nice cup of tea sometimes is really nice. People may want to take some lemon sips, which is quite soothing for their throats. Obviously, being careful not to take too many paracetamol as well as lemon sips. Things like that. Plenty of water, though, is always very good.
Okay. And how do you know you got the flu? What are the symptoms?
Well, I think unlike a really heavy head cold where you might feel quite unwell, often the flu doesn't have obvious symptoms that you can see. So people don't have really runny noses or that very heavy head cold. They may feel very tired with high temperatures and then shivers and shakes, their muscles aching, perhaps a dry cough. But certainly that body pain and that deep fatigue. And sometimes people feel quite low with it. They feel quite tearful and a bit depressed. And you may, of course, have a bit of a runny nose and a sore throat, but that's not characteristic of the flu. It is really very high temperature and those muscle aches and those chills. That's really characteristic of flu.
Okay. So I wouldn't normally ask this, but because the situation that we're in, can you just describe the symptoms of COVID-19 as well?
Okay. The main symptoms that are listed for COVID-19 are a very high temperature, a new or sustained cough. So some people may have a cough in any case, but it's a change of their cough, and it's quite continuous. Very much so a loss of smell and a loss of taste. Some people may have a sore throat. Children may present with diarrhea and vomiting. And it's those cohort of symptoms. Some people suffer with very high temperature. And I think it's those five symptoms that are very much characteristic. However, other people do describe other symptoms as well. So some people may have a runny nose, some people may have runny, you know, watery eyes. But it's the main five, which is, again, the cough, a new cough or a sustained cough, a high temperature, a loss of smell, a loss of taste, and vomiting and diarrhea in children.
And can you just tell us what numbers we should phone? Just say, for instance, if we, you know, because I say I was, you know, in the olden days, you know, back in the 70s, we used to phone 999 or, you know, for an ambulance and so on. But there are other numbers now that you should phone. So if you think you've got COVID-19 or you think you're in a bad way, there is a number to phone. Because I know recently people were phoning the cricket club and getting through and they were getting offered a game of cricket, but not what they wanted. So what's the numbers we got to phone?
So I think the first thing is if you're on the internet, you can go to gov.uk COVID and they will direct you to the available a symptom checker, for example. They'll also, I think the most important thing would be to get a test. The website would then refer you to book one online if you're online. However, quite a few people may not have internet facilities and the number is 119.
So 119.
Most important, 119 is to get a swab, because then you can be doing your test and trace, making sure, you know, any contacts that you've had, and provided it's obviously COVID positive, any contacts that you've had can be contacted, you know, via the app and things like that. So the first thing would be to get a swab. Keep an eye on your symptoms. I think if you've got any concerns, then you obviously need to contact your GP practice.
Okay, I think you've covered everything, but I've got one more, and that was you mentioned earlier on about going back to flu vaccinations. You do these for children, and that's a nasal spray, so that goes up your nose. How old are you when it goes up your nose? So that, just say, for instance, if there's young people listening and think, oh, I'm going to go and have that, but how old will you be when you stick a needle in somebody?
School age. So we do nasal vaccines up to about 5 years, I think, about 5 years. And then, I'm not absolutely certain. They may do nasal up to about 7 or 8. It does seem a bit unfair to do injections. I'm not really sure. I'd have to look that up.
Should you get like a sticker if you're like really brave?
You do get a sticker. I was brave at the doctors.
Well, I didn't get one. I didn't get a sticker.
Well, you're not brave.
I didn't even get an egg sandwich. I thought what I was going to get. Hey, look, it's been lovely to talk to you, and you've cleared a lot of things up for a lot of people. And I mean, the message is, you know, don't be frightened of this. It's something that you really do need to do, and do it sooner rather than later, because, you know, this year it's more important this year than any other year to go and get the flu jab.
Absolutely. It couldn't be more important for many reasons, for protecting the NHS, for protecting yourself, for personally knowing, you know, in a month's time, if we do have a really, a COVID surge on the island, if you've had your flu vaccine and you get poorly, you may be more likely to realise that you've got COVID. At least you know that you won't have both together. There's so many reasons this year to get your flu vaccine. It's absolutely vital.
Is there anything else you want to add?
No, but I wish I knew what age the children were. No, I don't think so. Do you think there should be anything else I should add?
No, I think you covered everything. And I say, you don't want to, you know, we've got enough information there. I think most people will be able to draw their own conclusion and say, right, I need this, and this is how I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So that's fine. I've got one other thing to ask you, if you're finished.
Yes, of course, yes.
Can we play you a song? So pick a song, any song you like.
Oh, my goodness me. Purple Rain by Prince.
Oh, wow. What, the full-length version?
Well, I wouldn't be. It doesn't matter.
No. So you're super doc. You're going to get the full length, the full Monty.
You don't say that.
Hey, look. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. And, you know, I'm hoping that people do the right thing and you know, keep you guys busy with the flu jabs and so on, because I think it's really, really important. But thank you for being there.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.